I am the vine. You are the branches. We've been talking about things that Jesus said, his own words, the I ams. And, you know, before we get into it, man, life changes so fast. It changes so fast. Think of this. Today, we are marking what's called the triumphal entry. People lined up. They came out of their homes and everywhere, lined the streets for this parade. I mean, they were celebrating. They were raising their hands. They were saying, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And they were throwing down branches, palm branches. They were throwing down their coats and anything they had on, because with royalty, when royalty would come, you would try to make sure that their feet don't even touch the dirty soil. And so here you have Jesus in the triumphal entry. It's incredible, right? It's incredible. But life changes so fast. I'm thinking what the disciples felt right then. What the disciples felt, they must have been like, whoa, this is unreal. This is so cool. And then just 5 days later, Jesus was hanging on a cross, being mocked, with people gambling for his clothes, with people giving him vinegar to drink. 5 days. I don't know about you, but with me, watching the news, it seems like things change quick. Things are up and down, and I'm just trying to hang on, you know, like, what is going on? Well, how do we hang on in the midst of all this? Today there's this tariff, tomorrow there's not. Today there's this, today, tomorrow there's not. And it changes so quickly, and I'm like, wow, it's like a roller coaster ride. And there are hundreds of people, and some, many in Maine, who have gone to work. They've gone to work and discovered their badges don't work. They can't even get in, right? They can't even get in. And so they're like, what do we do with this? And so I'm sure we've all seen life change really fast. We've all had things happen in our lives where life has changed really fast. Perhaps you've been laid off, or you've experienced that in your life, where you've had a time where you suddenly were laid off and it was a surprise to you. Or maybe there was an injury suddenly that put you on your back. Maybe it was a diagnosis that you weren't expecting, and that diagnosis has changed your entire direction. Life changes fast. In May of 2011, after we had finished going to Animal Kingdom and running around, my doctor came in, and I'm in the hospital, and she said, Mr. Linscott, without a transplant, immediately a liver transplant, you're going to die. Did you know this? Want to talk about life changing quickly? I thought we were planting a church. I thought we were going to be going in this direction, and we were all set, and we had our planting team. And suddenly I'm faced with that. And then 2 days later, a different doctor came in, and he said, how you doing? And I said, I'm scared to death. I mean, it's hard when a doctor comes in and tells you you're going to die. I don't know what to do. And he said, hang on. Wait. There are things we can do. There are medications we can give you. There are things that we can sustain you while we wait for that liver transplant, while we put you on the list. And I was like, whew. He said, I'm sorry that other doctor scared you. She's my wife. See, everything can change in an instant, right? Everything can change in an instant. One phone call, one doctor visit. So I had a friend recently who asked me. She said, how do you manage to stay positive and upbeat no matter what you've been going through? You seem to be hopeful no matter what change is happening. Well, how do you do this?
And I tried to explain to her and what we're going to talk about today. It's because I know what never changes. The reason I can have some stability, even though it's just a little tiny bit sometimes, I can have some stability is because I know what doesn't change. I know that Hebrews 13:8 says this. It says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So here's what it is. God's love for you, his forgiveness for you, his grace, it doesn't change. He is for you. His strength is for you. No matter what, that's what the book says. Okay? Stop watching the news and determining what Jesus is like. Stop watching other Christians and determining what Jesus is like. That's like me going to a baseball game and being so upset. One time we went down to a baseball game and we had these people who were visiting our country, and they were there and they were very excited to be there, and they would sit down in between every inning, and then as soon as the inning started, they would get up to walk out and get something to eat or do this or take selfies of each other while the game was playing, right? They didn't care about baseball at all. I should have said, what a bunch of stinking hypocrites. I am never coming to a baseball game again because there are people there who are not living baseball like I am. They're not even respecting baseball. Why are they here? See, that's a lot of times what we do with when we look at Christians and we judge Jesus based on their behavior. And we say, I don't want that Jesus. I want nothing to do with him. So I encourage you, we're going to look today at the vine. Jesus said, I am the vine. I am the vine. So when I stay connected to him and don't get distracted by all the craziness in the world, all the weird stuff that is always going on, and don't tell me right now is worse than it's ever been or better than it's ever been. I mean, go through history. It's always been like this in American history. We've always had marches. They happen every 5-10 years. We've always had controversy. Aaron Burr shot Alexander Hamilton. I mean, talk about politicians not getting along. Holy cow. Okay? When we look back and we see what is happening, understand that Jesus is the same. Even when Nixon was resigning, and his buds have been caught robbing a building. That was a big deal. That was kind of a big deal. Jesus was the same. Jesus was the same when we had lines and gas we were rationing in the 70s, and people were lining up for miles to get gas. How many of you are old enough to remember that? Yeah, I remember it as a child, okay? I was about 10, 12 years old. And I remember it. I remember my dad buying extra gas cans and filling those up. But I remember that. But Jesus didn't change during that time. So when I stay connected to him, I don't get distracted as easily. I got to show you what happens when I do get distracted by him. Yeah, some of you know I like to buy shirts that are unique and weird and different. And so this is me when I'm not connected to Jesus. Okay? That is me when I'm not walking with Jesus. This is how I approach life. This is how I see every new thing that happens. This is how I react to my wife. This is how I react to my children. This is me when I'm not connected. That's enough out of you, peanut gallery. My heckler, Biff. I thought of just like taking off the shirt and wearing it for the rest, but then I was like, these online streamers are going to be like tuning in and going, what is that? So just to give you that word picture, so today, we're going to talk about staying connected to the vine. And if you want to look up John chapter 15, in the first four verses. That's where we'll be. Keep your thumb in it. But first, I want to start off. I want you to look at your palm frond. I always, every year, I have the question, is one called a frond? I don't know. Nobody knows. Or was that giant thing you gave me, was that a frond? Are these individual branches, or was that, I don't know, but I just know. Look at your palms. Tell me what's going to happen to it now that it's disconnected from the vine, from the tree. What's going to happen to it? Going to die. Going to dry up. Yeah. Still got one in my office, I think, from several years back. Surprised it hasn't turned to dust yet. What else happens? Gets brittle, right? When it dries up. But if you leave it connected to the tree, it can live through that its life cycle. Okay? So it's interesting to me that it's almost like it was planned that we're talking about palms and palm leaves being disconnected and used to worship. At the same day, we're talking about I am the vine, and if you stay connected to me. So it sounds like me when I get disconnected from Jesus. I get brittle. I get brittle. What do I mean? I get edgy, like meh. Okay. I get dried out. You get that feeling like, just going through the motions, right? And so when I'm disconnected, that's how I feel. So I love that you made it here today, because life is crazy busy, right? Life is crazy busy. You got work deadlines. There are the side hustles. You got your social commitments, your kids' activities, and kids today are a major marketing thing. Every kid activity is now $2,400 with special coaches and places you have to travel. We used to, when I was a kid back in the good old days, we used to all share the same helmets, right? And now every kid's got a $300 bat, or everybody's got, or this year's dance costumes. Nah, they're only $225, and you need three of them because you're in three performances. And it's like, it's all like totally different, like this marketing thing. So our kids, we're going wherever they need to go, taking them, because if we don't, we'll be bad parents. Our family commitments. Like, we feel like we have no time. So I say, you made it here today. Congratulations. Good job. You know, that priority. But statistics also show us, this one gets me because it's true of me, definitely. Statistics tell us that most of us as adults spend 2 hours a day looking at our phones and going like this, scrolling 2 hours a day. I'm like, well, sometimes I'm not scrolling. I'm playing the game where I drag the hole around and I get all the fruit to drop in it. And then I get next level. So I'm not just scrolling all the time. But yeah, I'll spend a lot of time on Instagram and being like, oh, this one's funny. I'm going to send it to my daughter. It's finally gotten to the point that I think my Tampa family has shut me off. I think I've become that dad where they're like, Dad, you just can't send us 8, you know, stories and links, you know, one after another. We can't do it. And so we're all doing that, and it makes it feel impossible for us to maintain any type of spiritual connection. The things that don't call out to us, the things that don't ring to get our attention, we tend to push them aside. They might be our greatest priority. My wife is, behind my faith, my greatest priority. But there have been many times in our marriage where we step back and we look and we go, are we showing each other that this relationship is a priority, or are we not? Oh, we're not. Because other things push in, and it's the same with our faith. So Jesus gave us this metaphor. He said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. So the first thing this morning, staying connected to the vine produces fruit, okay? Like staying connected to the vine produces fruit. Here's the thing. We were not designed to go solo or live disconnected from our Creator. We were designed to be in relationship with Him and communion with Him. That's how we're supposed to be living. And when we live that way, it's when we feel and experience the abundant life that He said He came to give. So this verse here, John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, this isn't about Jesus being controlling. It's about recognizing a spiritual reality. We as spiritual beings were not designed to be apart from the vine. We were designed to be in relationship with Him. So what is the fruit we're supposed to produce? Is it Instagram followers? You know, Stacy, how many Instagram followers you have? None? Dang it. How about you, Steve? How many Instagram followers? 10? 10 followers, that's pretty good. Yeah? If Ella was here, she'd be like, I'm at 1,533. And then a bunch of us would be like, oh, I didn't know, I'll follow you too. Right? What is the fruit? Is it Instagram followers? Is it career achievements? Is the fruit and our purpose a perfect look? Like fashion, you need to see my shirt again? Because I will wear that on a family outing this summer. Shara's saying, no, you won't. Yes. I will. Sometimes I come out dressed up to go on a family outing, and my daughter says, turn around, right back in there. You're not going out looking like that. And my wife has given up on me, though. She's like, oh, today's big dumb hat day. Okay, fine. So the fruit, somebody look up Galatians 5:22-23. Galatians 5:22-23, stand up and read it for us.
But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Jesus, Christ Jesus, have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to His cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives.
Amen. And so Chris is over here singing the song about the fruit of the Spirit. I'm almost like, okay, Chris, come on up here and sing it for us. But the fruit of the Spirit, walking with the Spirit, the things that will show us that we're actually in relationship to Jesus are these things in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, self-control. What do you mean self-control? Did you see what they posted? I need to put them on blast. The fruit of the Spirit. Now, does an apple tree branches, are they hanging out trying hard to produce apples? Are they like, apple, 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 apple? No, they're not. I'm producing an apple. What are you laughing at, Rach? Producing an apple. This is what the tree would look like. I don't know. How do you strain to get out an apple in your branch? And you're like, but they don't have to strain to make fruit. Why does the fruit come? Because they're connected to the tree. What is the tree? An apple tree that grows apples. What is the fruit that Jesus produces in our lives? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. Those things are the marks. That's tough because sometimes I look and I have to admit, yeah, right now I don't got a whole lot of that going on. Right now, I'm not feeling that. Well, it's not a thing that you look at and say, oh, I'm a failure. I stink. It's saying I need to walk more closely with Jesus. I need to spend more time connected with the vine because you're kind of split off. The second thing, being disconnected, that verse said, produces nothing. See, when you connect to Jesus as your source, your life produces more and more of the good stuff. Oh, we're uncomfortable with that. We're uncomfortable with that because, Scott, are you saying my life is going to be all just roses and everything's going to be good because that's good stuff? No, I'm saying it's going to produce the good stuff that we just listed, that each of us wants in our lives. I know there are some angry people who run around who take pride in them being, you know, the jerk, and they're taking pride in how angry they are and all that, but that's a front. There's not anybody around who doesn't want love, who doesn't want joy, who doesn't want peace in their life. When you connect to Jesus as your source, your life produces more and more of that good stuff. And he doesn't stop there. If you do not remain in me, John 15, 6, if you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. As a matter of fact, I don't know if you guys know it, but in the Catholic Church, the tradition is they take this year's palms that are left over, and they burn them and reduce them to ashes to use in their next year's liturgy of Ash Wednesday. A little trivia for you. It'll help you out the next time you're at a trivia night and they have a religious category. So Jesus says, I don't want you withering up. I don't want you becoming brittle. I've come that you might have life and have it to the full. You know, so many people think that God is about destroying all your fun. You know what? I haven't found that in my life. I have a lot of fun. I have a lot of fun. I love my life. I feel like it's full, even though there have been tough times. So it sounds intense, right? Have you ever felt like completely burned out? Have you ever felt brittle? Some of you weave these things, right? And they're bendable and you can weave them and all that. If we go grab the one in my office that's been above the window for 6 years, you won't be doing this, right? Because it's brittle. So I look at saying, I don't want to be brittle. I don't want to be dried out. I don't want to be cast aside and burned up. Because that's all they're good for after disconnected from the vine. Okay, phone check. Take out your phones. Take out your phones. I need to know. We're going to figure out who has the least amount of battery life right now left. Okay, how many of you are above 90%? Yeah, because you people are the ones who charge it overnight to be ready. How about you are, let's see, below 80%? Below 70%? Below 60%? Below 50%, below 40%, below 30%. Okay, so we got Devlin left. How much power do you have? 31%. That makes me nervous. How many of you have bought a phone charger while traveling because you either packed yours in your checked luggage
Or you forgot it altogether. You bought a charger. Yep, charger, me, I bought a charger, bought a charger. How many of you have had to buy a cable even though you have 30 of them at home? Why? Why do you see people in the airport immediately sitting down at those desks and stuff and plugging in? Why do we now on our flights have the little jacks that we can plug in there? Why? Why do you go buy a charger? Because we don't want to lose power. And we have to have our phones in order to stay connected. When my phone has trouble, I feel like this guy under my shirt. Remember him? One of his eyes. I'm looking around for a charger. I'm looking around. I'm looking around for the cable. I'm looking around. I've got cell phone anxiety. Because what if somebody needs me? What if we've tried leaving it at home, and then as soon as we get in the driveway, we go, okay, do you know how to get there? No, I don't know how to get there. Why don't you look it up? I didn't bring my phone. Oh, I left mine too. What are we going to do without these? We have to stay connected. Imagine if we had that same desire to stay connected to Jesus. Imagine if we went 2 days without Jesus. We felt the same way we just went 2 days without our phone. I tell you what, my phone breaks, I drop it now. Breaks, shatters. Where am I going before I even go home? AT&T store. Because I'm like, what if Steve has to get a hold of me? Honey, I need to spend $1,400 because it's part of my job. That's like the people who buy refrigerators. Refrigerator salesman. This one's $500 that keeps your food cold. This one's $900. Keeps your food cold. This one's $1,200. Keeps your food cold. But look at this one. This one has the weather on front of it and it's $2,400. And it keeps your food cold. I look and I say, I gotta go buy that phone because I gotta be connected. I have phone anxiety. So I look and I'm like, where's my phone? I couldn't find a new phone. Where's my phone? And I'm looking online and I'm trying to find a, I gotta stay connected. What if I didn't spend time with Jesus for a couple of days and I'm like, I gotta get that power back. I've gotta recharge. I've got to recharge so I have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, self-control. I've got to recharge. See, Jesus said in John 15:10, when you obey my commandments, you remain in my love. Just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. And this doesn't mean that if you're not living a perfect life that Jesus doesn't love you. It's more saying that obeying his commandments because you know they're for you and that because they're for you, they're good and it's just a natural part. You're in my love. So, the question becomes, how do we then live like Jesus, or how do we stay connected? How do we stay connected? We live like Jesus. That's how we stay connected to the vine. So I ask you this question. What was Jesus known for? What does it mean to live like Jesus? That mean you gotta go home, pour a jug of water, turn it into wine? Well, that would be a neat trick, but probably not going to be in God's plan for you this afternoon, right? So living like Jesus means having his characteristics. So this little next one has a little phone up in the corner, and so that's a sign to take this out, take your phone out, take a picture of this, because for the week to come, I would like us to focus on the major themes of Jesus, his characteristics, and looking at those each day, spending maybe 5-10 minutes to connect with the vine this week. Even so, if you look at the bottom, you see text vine to me, and you'll get the 7-day devotional that I put together to go with this, to just kind of look at these major characteristics. So now, what do we do to love and live like Jesus? Somebody stand up and read this first verse.
This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you.
All right. That seems pretty straightforward. How about the next one? John 13:15. What does it mean to love and live like Jesus?
For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done.
Just do what I've done. Just do what I've done. How about the next one? 1 John 2:6.
Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did.
Whoever claims it must live as Jesus did. Remember, I'm not talking about, oh, I got to go find a leper colony. Oh, there's a herd of pigs. Watch this. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking the themes of the life of Christ, his characteristic. How do we live like that? Philippians 2:5.
You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had.
Wow. Really? We look at that and go, oh my gosh. I go, how can I do that? He's not going to tell you to do anything you can't do. God doesn't tell you to do anything that he's not going to empower you to do. So it's possible to live saying, I'm going to have these same major themes in my life. The next one, John 13:34.
The new command that you love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another.
Okay, so when we look at the major themes of Jesus' life, when I back up and look at it, I have to erase all these and go backwards and look at the major themes. And I see love and compassion. I see humility and servanthood. I see forgiveness, the obedience to God, prayer and dependence of God. That Jesus was relational in discipleship, that he had integrity and truth. You guys, I want that. I want that. That's all stuff that I want to be able to say about others, too. Those are the people I tend to trust the most. Those are the people that I want to hang out with. Okay, they're part of Jesus saying, I have come to give you life and give it to the full. That's to the full. So what does the love of Jesus look like? What does it look like? Have you seen the commercials, the He Gets Us commercials put out? It's a nonprofit called Come Near, okay? Much of it has been funded by the owners of Hobby Lobby and some other Christian businesses, but looking and saying, how many of you guys have seen those? Yeah, I love those. I love those because they're almost kind of shocking. They're almost kind of shocking, and if you look online, there's controversy about them. A bunch of Christians don't like them. I understand why. Let's take a look at this one.
Your own personal Jesus. Someone to hear your prayers. Someone who's there. Feeling unknown and you're all alone. Flesh and bone by the telephone. Lift up the receiver, I'll make you a believer. reach out and touch faith. Reach out and touch faith.
See, when we consider that Jesus, how he loved. Yes, he loved everyone. He hung out with the religious leaders. He answered their questions. He hung out with Zacchaeus, the tax collector. He stood up for the woman caught in adultery. Jesus ran to the mess. He ran to the mess. And I look and I think, we are so focused on being neat and tidy. So many people say to me when I invite them, why don't you come on Sunday morning? Why don't you come to church? And they'll say, oh, if I walk into church, the walls will fall down. The roof will cave in. You ever heard that? Yeah. Man, I look and say, that's not Jesus. That's not Jesus. Jesus went for the least of these, and he actually said, if you want to show your love for me, love the least of these. Love the marginalized, right? So when I look at the character of Christ, I love those commercials. The music team comes up. I just conclude, say, I know that staying connected is not easy. I'm not saying it is. We live in an age of distraction. Everything around us is distracting us, pulling us this way, pulling us that way. The worries come, the things that are happening, it's like one after another, they come. And we get distracted. So this week, I want to challenge all of us, myself included, to be intentional about connecting to the vine, staying connected to Jesus. Spend just 10 minutes a day. Get that devotional. If you didn't get it, I'll give you my number after. I'll send it out to you. Maybe try 5 minutes of prayer before you look at your phone in the morning. Maybe it's setting aside some time when you're in the middle of scrolling or dropping fruit in the box to try to work your way up to the watermelon. One of my major goals in life right now, the watermelon. Instead of doing that, maybe say, what if I just kind of read about Jesus and what he did? What if I just actually read in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John? Maybe it's reaching out to someone within the church or your family, other Christians, and having a real conversation. Whatever it looks like you for you, remember, whatever it looks like for you, it's not about religious perfection. It's not about ritual. It's not about checking all the boxes. It's about mirroring the character of Christ. And that when we do that, when we are connected to the vine, the good stuff comes. The abundant life, love, joy, patience, peace, kindness. Those are what come. Look at this quote. When you're connected to the vine, you become who you were actually meant to be. Who you are actually meant to be. Your purpose and joy aren't about hustling harder. They're not. They're about staying rooted in the one who gives you life. So this week and in the months to come, could we try less noise and more Jesus? So as you head out this week, is this you? You feeling like this? Or do you have that love, the joy, the peace? This guy has no peace. This guy is stressed to the max. Remember when Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He's talking about when we remain in him, we receive the power to live as he's called us to live. We receive his strength. We receive the fruit. And that starts being a natural product as we walk close to him. As you look at this last slide of things that are coming up this week, remember our youth group and kids time, kids club tonight. But I hope you'll make time this week maybe to join Victoria as she leads on Thursday. I hope that you early risers will take the time to come on out and maybe sing a little bit and have communion together in the gazebo at the park at 5:45 a.m. And then put on your bunny ears. You can all say, "I hop to breakfast." I'm sorry, that's bad. That's bad. And then join us for our Easter service when we talk about how Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." Let's pray together. Lord, thanks so much that you've never called us to do something that you do not also equip us and empower us to do. Lord, I thank you that as we are connected to you, the vine, we grow. We begin to produce fruit. And some of us might feel that we don't have any fruit right now. But Lord, you look and you say, "That's okay, it's coming. See that bud? I love that bud." So God, I pray you'd go with us now. Help us to stay connected to the vine. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great week, guys.